1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon. You're very welcome to Liveline. Line 51551 is our text number, joe@rte.ie. Katie Hannah sitting in for Joe again today. Now, a caller has alerted us to a video of a fly tipper being challenged by a concerned citizen who appears to have embarrassed this man into retrieving a mattress that was dumped in a field and stuffing it back into the boot of his SUV. Take a listen to this.
Where do you normally put your rubbish? Huh? Where do you live? Where do you live?
In there, Ballyger.
And you come all the way out here?
Sorry,
me hole.
There's no
going on. Hey, you in all fairness, how old are you, lad? Huh?
You
understand it, lad.
Huh? Sorry.
Hey, sorry, me hole. Going around your dumping your shite. I'll have this into the guard.
Donny Anderson, good afternoon to you.
Hey, Katie.
You've seen the video, and I believe you've had your own run-ins with fly tippers.
We see it on and off, yeah. We don't always be lucky enough to see them, but it happens.
Where you're, I believe you're farming in one of the most beautiful parts of the country.
Thanks very much. Yeah, we're up in the Dublin Hills.
And you've sheep up there, is it?
Yeah.
And as I say, you saw the video. What did you make of it?
Well, sure, I thought it was good that the man that the fellow that found him took it on to challenge him. I would have shared it, except for there was so much bad language in it. But it was just, that's the kind of thing that needs to be done, because it's the people on the ground that actually see things like that happening, and the authorities don't always be there to see it. So if the people actually challenge somebody to catch dumping, let the dumpers be aware that everybody is watching them.
Like, have you ever had a scenario like that where you actually came upon somebody dumping rubbish?
I did a couple of times, yeah.
And how did you react?
Well, one case, I actually didn't see the person dumping it, but I went through it and I found who it was, found his number and rang him, and he asked me would I wait there, and he was all apologetic for it, and he said he'd come and take it away, and he actually did come and take it away while I was there. He took all he could away, but he left a little bit. So I told him a couple of days after I still had the little Warren's number if he wanted not to take the rest of it away, he would still be prosecuted. So he actually took it away.
And that sounds like a fairly reasonable exchange you had. What was his demeanour when he turned up to take away his rubbish?
He was very sorry. He said he had paid somebody else to take it away and thought they were bringing it to a legitimate landfill, but when he discovered where it was, he was, to say the least, he was embarrassed.
And tell me, like, you're up, as we say, up there in the Wicklow Mountains, the most beautiful scenic area. Tell us, what kind of items do you see dumped up in that area?
There's one case there where there's a couple of beds and mattresses, and they were actually dumped out there a couple of days ago, and I don't know why, because South Dublin County Council actually offered the facility there to take in beds and mattresses for free. I think it was on last Saturday. This had been dumped there beforehand. Then you come across washing machines and fridges, and not as much nowadays, but there used to be a good few televisions and things like that, and furniture. One case, there was a kitchen, the whole contents of the kitchen dumped.
And I believe you also have confronted people with who have thrown out cigarette butts.
Yeah, in a few years ago, I just think, it takes the same mentality to dump out a cigarette butt as it does to dump out a fridge, really, like, you know. And if somebody drops out a cigarette butt and you happen to be behind them and just pick it up and drop it back into them, they're very surprised. I'm sure it's probably easier on them than having to pay a fine.
When you say drop it right, are you saying dropping a cigarette butt out of a car, is it?
If they drop it out the window, yeah.
And have you done that?
Yeah.
And what kind of a reaction did you get to that?
Usually they get such a shock that they just put you know, tap on the window and say, sorry, you lost something, and drop the cigarette butt, maybe possibly lighting back into them. And they're stopped in traffic or stopped somewhere, and the time they realise what has happened, they know they've done wrong anyway. Don't really react very much.
And do you think people do? Because I think a lot of people wouldn't consider a cigarette butt maybe in the same level as, you know, a mattress or, you know, fly tipping, you know, fridges or microwaves or whatever.
But when you think about it, like, what is a cigarette butt there for? The tip, it's to collect all the stuff that the people don't want to take into their system, and then to throw it out for boards or whatever else wants to pick it up.
Do you think this is a growing problem, or do you think people are becoming more, you know, environmentally aware about this, Donny?
Yeah, I think more people are becoming aware, and more people are becoming aware of the environment and the amount of damage like that plastic and different things thrown out can do. But the people that do it, probably it's very hard to get through to them. I don't know whether some people do it as a protest against charges or whatever, but they actually know where to go. And one of the points that I always make is that one piece of litter attracts another piece. So if it's kept, try to keep the area as tidy as possible. People don't see it as a place that they can get away with things. But they possibly won't do it there again.
And you're farming sheep there in Wicklow, Donny. Is there health issues for your livestock if this kind of material is dumped on the land?
Well, hopefully not. But you see, sometimes people throw out hedge clippings and that. And sure, you don't know what the hedge was, like what kind of a hedge. It could have been poisonous or any, or even grass clippings that's thrown out. Like,
now, that there's the thing now, Donny, though, that people might think, should that, what, you know, that that's perfectly, it's organic material, that, you know, there shouldn't be any problem with it. But you're saying people should think twice.
Yes, I think so. Even throwing out a banana skin is illegal, which you might think something would eat it or whatever, or anything like that. The fact that you're throwing out something is littering.
I say that you had that experience where you went through someone's rubbish and you made the call and you met the man and all that. But would you be at all nervous about confronting somebody in a scenario like this if you caught them in the act?
We would usually hand it over to the litter warden and let them deal with it. We have a good litter warden service in South Dublin County Council, and because we're actually in Dublin. And but the litter warden, like, if he finds details, he will prosecute.
And what kind of a prosecution are they facing then? What are the fines like, do you know?
I'm not exactly sure. I know in places you see signs that there could be up to €1,500 maybe of a fine for illegal dumping. I'm not sure what the difference between illegal dumping and littering. But just for a small amount of littering, I think it's probably €50. Or throwing out a sweet paper or something like that, it could be possibly €50.
Okay, stay with us, Donny, because obviously what kicked this off was that video that we heard there. In fact, we might just play it again if we can before we move
Where
on.
Where do you normally put your rubbish? Huh? Where do you live? Where do you live?
In their valley here.
And you come all the way out here?
Sorry.
No, sorry, me hole. Hey, you in all fairness, how old are you, lad? Huh? Understand it, huh?
Sorry,
you poor. You're going around here dumping your shite. I'll have this into the guard.
51551 is our text number, 185715815 if you want to call in. Eric Keegan.
Hi, Katie.
That's yourself there, Eric, we were listening to in that video.
It is, yes. I'm not normally that kind of off the cuff like that now, but... But there was a little bit more to it than what started into it, where he kind of rubbed me, but telling me it was only clipping the grass.
And yeah, you did sound fairly exercised, all right, Eric.
Well, it's on my doorstep too as well. It's about 1 kilometre down the road from me. Like, it's a very rural area.
Where is it? Is it near Ballygar? That was the only name we put.
It's about 4 kilometres outside Ballygar. It's on a Ballygar-Ballyforden road. Now, it's a fairly busy road. That was about 4:30 on a Friday evening. Now, to... If you were driving down it, you'd think it was a nice, quiet bog road, but it's actually a busy little road. And I just came upon the guy, and he was telling me that it was nothing serious. There was only a few clippings of grass and stuff like that, nothing to be worried about.
And could you see the mattress that we could see in the video?
Yeah. And, you know, if it wasn't picked up, then it would actually still be there. You know, it wouldn't have been removed or anything like that. It wouldn't stay anywhere. There's more washing machines and dishwashers and cookers and TVs and... They're littered all throughout the terrain there. It's a nice spot just to be throwing your rubbish, like. So it was great to catch the guy, but I know the language wasn't your best now. It is what it is.
It is what it is. And did tell me, you literally were driving along, saw this, pulled up and just challenged him there and then.
Yeah. Well, like, there was other cars. I was after meeting other cars who obviously had passed out the guy who was doing this, like. And they just passed him out, like. Paid no heed to him, let him off, like.
But you weren't going to do that?
No. No, like, even if it wasn't in my own area, I don't think I'd stand for it, like. Dirt. You're dirt around the area, like. And, like, he was a well-dressed guy. He had a lovely car.
He was actually very polite in the video, as we saw. He seemed quite contrite.
When he realised that I was recording him, he wasn't that polite before that. There was a light on my phone that made a reveal that I was recording him. I didn't mean to record him. I only meant to take a picture of the actual number plate of the car, like, but...
Oh, but you hit video by mistake.
More or less, yeah. And I didn't even know I was videoing him until he kind of kept staring at the camera, apologising and all this crap to it, like, but... he wasn't from the area at all, like. The car was registered up in Loughrea.
Right.
And so he actually had a nice drive down, maybe 40-minute drive. I think now, I don't know why the car was registered in Loughrea, but he had a nice drive down to dump out his rubbish, like.
And you hadn't met him before? You didn't see him since?
No, nothing about the guy. I feel kind of sorry for him that he's been all over the internet now at this stage of it, that I'm sure someone his family has seen what he does the act like, you know, and it must be a bit embarrassing to be caught out like that.
But, I mean, if he did actually drive for 40 minutes to dump a mattress, you wouldn't that be the cost of the petrol or the diesel cover the cost of recycling
a
mattress?
Easy. Yeah. It was just handiness, I suppose. It was out of his way to go to a dump or something like that. It was just easy to throw it out of the bog, like.
And tell me, have you done that before?
No, but I wouldn't say maybe 6 months prior to that, there was 3 horses abandoned in our own road, like. So it's a hot spot for it, like. And the little warden is actually a neighbour. He lives up the road, like, and he knows what's going on and he's trying to keep it under control. But, like, that, it's a hard old job, like, keep going. Like, there was rubbish from Tala recently brought out there. And that's Galway, like. So it's coming all the way from Tala and they traced it up to Tala, like.
So people are going to extreme lengths. And do you think this is like individuals with their own rubbish, or do you think there's some, you know, commercial operators taking a few quid from people?
Guys with vans willing to take away rubbish, do it for a couple of hundred euro and throw it in a bog. Good luck. People probably presume that it's going to an actual centre or something like that.
Yeah, that they've actually paid in their own mind for proper disposal.
Once it's out of their sight, they don't really care, do they?
Well, and tell me, have you got much reaction since the video got the started to go viral?
Yeah, a lot of phone calls and stuff like that, wondering was it me and stuff like that. It doesn't show my face.
I was going to say, yeah, you can obviously hear your voice, but you can't obviously see your face. But people who knew you, did they?
Yeah, straight away. That accent stands out a bit.
Would you do it again, Eric?
I would, yeah, I would. I'd encourage people to do it, like, you know, because I think, you know, no matter who they are, and if they're confronted, they'll kind of back down, like.
Yeah, well, I wonder, would they at all times back down now? I wonder, would there be, could it turn into a different kind of situation?
Well, look, if the guards are only a phone call away as well, like, you know, if someone wasn't feeling safe to do it, like, ring the guards or whatever.
Rightio. Eric, stay with us. I've got Tom on the line. Tom, good afternoon to you.
Well, how are you? How are you keeping?
You also caught somebody in this act.
Yeah. I suppose, look, I was in a past life before me, I was a public representative in South Kildare. I got word that there was rubbish dumped in one of the housing estates adjacent to me own. And I went up and had a look. And yes, there was rubbish smouldering. Letters were there. There was doctor's letters, quite private information. I picked it apart and I would have, you know, I suppose, but I went down to the house. It was in the next estate, in my own estate, and I knocked on the door and I said to the lady, "Do you know that your rubbish is burning next door in the next estate?" And she looked at me and smiled. She said, "Oh, I thought he would have took it a little bit further than that." I said, "What?" "Yeah." I said, "Did you pay somebody to dump it?" "Yeah, yeah." and you knew he was dumping it legally. Well, I thought he'd dump it somewhere else. I said, I couldn't believe this. I said, look, you have 2 or 3 hours to go up there and get your crap out of there. Or I said, I'm going to the litter warden. So anyway, the 2 or 3 hours passed. I let the neighbours know and the residents of the estate that she was on the way up. She told me she was on the way up. She never came. So they bandied together and got a wheelie bin and put all her crap into a wheelie bin and brought it down to my estate and tied it to her front door. That's what they did.
Tied it to her front door?
Tied it to her front door.
A wheelie bin full of smouldering rubbish?
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure they dampened it down at this stage, but I do know when I was on the local authority that there was an issue with a man in a van going around, especially in South Kildare. It was not just people from South Kildare doing it, but there was people coming from other counties collecting rubbish. It got to the stage where I remember people were saying to me that, you know, as soon as the bin men had come in, and if somebody didn't have their bins out, their house was being approached with leaflets to say, do you want your rubbish collected? So it was a very serious little bit criminal business going on.
And do we know how much they were charging for this service?
I was told one person was charged €30 to take a whole shed load of bags, black bags. And I mean, you're living beside somebody with 50 black bags in a shed to go to draw rats. I mean, the smell, the flies. And it's an ongoing issue, not just here. It's throughout the state, and it's...
And sure, you have to be fair now to people who say, look, I paid and I thought to be dumped legally. Sure, you know that if you're only giving somebody €30 to dump a whole shed load of bags, that they're not going to a legitimate site.
And what they do is, and we had an epidemic here for a while, they literally opened, there was one particular road, I won't name the road, but there was one particular road where they literally opened the door of the van and they were kicking the bags out. So weekend after weekend after weekend. And it actually got quite dangerous. So I want to thank the local authority because they started a very serious investigation here, and there was a number of prosecutions and one pending as well with the man with the van, one man in the van anyway. And there was a campaign as well, an educational campaign launched.
I wonder now, does anyone really need to be educated to know that you shouldn't apply to it?
No, you shouldn't fly. But I think a lot of this goes back to the local authority not collecting rubbish themselves. I mean, they need to go back to doing that. We have recycling centres all over the place. They're not open maybe 3 days a week. It is quite difficult for people. The mattresses, some county councils are recycling mattresses and others aren't. It should be uniform throughout the state, and it should be a little bit easier for people as well to recycle. And obviously fly tipping is totally wrong, but you know, the local authority in my eyes, they should be the ones collecting the rubbish, and it would make it an awful lot easier.
But I'm sure, like, if we go back, and we don't have to go back that far to when rubbish collection was a local authority business, there was fly tipping then as well, Tom, wasn't there?
Well, look, I'm only 40 years of age. I can't remember the last time the local authority were collecting rubbish. It was 20 years ago, 30 years ago. It's been out for tender since. So I really don't know, was it as bad as it was then? We didn't have recycle centres then either, and the whole green emphasis wasn't on people. But I want to say I did see the video of that man, and I was shocked, actually. I was shocked. Not by the foul language, but by the person that you was dumping the mattress where that your previous caller was on.
Yeah, Eric. That was Eric Keegan. Yeah.
Wouldn't be the profile of the person that you'd expect to be dumping the mattress. It was quite shocking, to be honest with you.
Well, what you're saying, I suppose he was a nice, well-spoken man with a nice...
Oh, lovely man, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, dumping his crap. And it's a lovely area where it appeared to be a nice area where they were, you know?
Okay, Tom, stay with us. I've got Donal Hayes. Good afternoon to you.
Katie, how are you doing?
You had a very recent incident in this line.
A few weeks ago, I lived in Kinsale, Katie, which, as you know, is kind of the jewel in the crown of Irish tourism. And
another beautiful place indeed, yeah.
Yeah, and it's a place that, you know, the people of Kinsale have a huge pride in, and there's, you know, they're always winning tidy towns competitions and all this kind of stuff. There's a huge awareness, there's a huge... pride in the town. And I lived just outside the town, and I was coming home with my three kids, coming over the brow of the hill, and I saw at the end of the hill a car pulled in by a gate in a field, and bags coming out the passenger's door of the car. As I came down, I saw that it was domestic rubbish, and the car sped away. Now, I slowed down for a second, and there was tins of beans everywhere, and kind of there was just rubbish and peels and potato peels and stuff like that. So I sped after the car, and the car went left and right, and was clearly trying to avoid me. And now I wasn't going to turn this into a dangerous chase, but I did follow the car. And eventually, the car turned into a place where they couldn't turn out, and I pulled up beside them. And it was a woman that I knew in town. No, she's an elder. She's older than I am, and she's in business in town, and she's a well-respected person. And she was chucking her domestic waste out into a field, just as they can say. So I left her for dead, and I said I had it on camera here, and I was going straight to the guards. And she was ashamed of the town, and she was a disgrace to the business. She was mortified. She was absolutely mortified. She could hardly look me in the face, and then she was going to the thing. And I said, look, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to drop the kids out home, and I'll come back in. And if this field is pristine when I come back, I won't go to the guards and take as a lesson. But if there's one tin or if there's one anything there, I'm going straight to the guards. So she said, okay, I'll go and clean it. So I brought the three kids home, and my wife was inside there, and I said to the kids, I was full of pride with my domestic duty, you know, my
delighted
duty.
With yourself, Donal, you are.
Absolutely. And I said to the kids, tell your mother what happened on the way home. And the youngest fella said, Daddy was shouting at an old woman. So their takeaway from the whole civic event was that I ended up shouting at an old woman. And I was kind of, to be honest, I was the villain of the piece in their eyes.
A bit deflated, I'd say now.
A bit. So I actually did go back and check it, and it was pristine, just as if nothing happened.
And tell me, when you did confront this woman, did she have any, explanation for what she was doing or why she was doing
very
it?
Very similar to the Twitter video there that I think everybody's seen. Like, she was obviously mortified. I mean, the guy in the Twitter video wasn't your typical. I mean, he wasn't destitute. You imagine people who are dumping outside towns just can't afford things. And they can't afford to pay the waste charges, and they can't afford to have stuff taken away to be recycled. These people clearly can. You know, it's just some blockage in their mind. I don't know what it is. It's clearly disgusting, and it's not fair to the community we live in, you know.
And was that your one and only time ever doing that, Donal?
I live in a place where thankfully it doesn't happen that often. So I've never seen it happen. But I would be fairly, you know, up for telling them to stop it, you know, if anybody littering, particularly at that level. I mean, if somebody threw something out of the car window, it's very annoying, but I wouldn't chase them down. But somebody throwing bags of their own food rubbish out the window, it's just gross.
And it was actually bags, was it? We're talking about black refuse sacks full of...
No, it wasn't. It was three kind of what used to be old dump throwers bags, or, you know, the shopping bags, light shopping bags. But they were full bags, tied in a knot at the top, you know, and all split once they'd thrown them out then, you know. It was just, gross, you know. So anyway, she won't look me in the eye when I see her in town, and that's no great loss to me, but I think she learned her lesson.
And did you have a video of it? Do you still have that video?
I didn't, to be honest. I took a photograph of her, but the video, my phone was in the inside pocket. I was driving. I find it hard to go from photograph to video to selfies. And so I did take a photograph, but I wasn't suitably prepared to take a video.
But as you say, it's unlikely that she's going to chance that kind of activity again.
She wouldn't dream it.
Okay, thanks for that, Donal. Una Heaton. Good afternoon to you.
You think I'm a very boring person. I keep cleaning up Limerick and whatever. I'm talking about my husband a few years ago. He was parked behind, in the traffic lights, you know, the traffic lights changed in the car in front of him. Mm-hmm. And the door of the driver's car opened and he just dumped the contents of his ashtray onto the ground. Sean, my husband's been very civic-minded, he sort of said, well, that's ridiculous, you know. Got out, opened the door of your man's car, had taken up all the rubbish out of the road and just put on your man's lap. I believe these are yours, he said to the driver. The driver couldn't believe it. He had to change, he had to go straight away because the lights changed to green. But as John said, I hope he learned his lesson, you know. I mean, that was
That's just one little thing, you know. It's just amazing. It's just the people that can get away with it, that try it.
And where exactly was this, Una?
In going off the Ennis Road onto the bridge there, going into O'Connell Street in Limerick.
And you're saying the full contents of
everybody.
Of an ashtray.
The full contents of his ashtray. He just opened the door and just threw the whole lot on the ground. I hope he's listening today, that he can hear and be remorseful of what he did. But, I mean, I found it amazing, you know, that he could do that in full front of everybody in daylight.
And
John just lifted the contents and put them on his lap and believed, these are yours. I never saw him to this day. I wouldn't recognise him anyway. But I mean, just thinking of John, you know.
Absolutely.
I mean, a few times I see people throwing cans on the road and I roll down the window. You must think I'm an awful bore, but it's civic duty, you know. And I said, would you mind picking that up? Of course, you get lovely language back. But I'm sure deep down they must think, oh no, if somebody said that to me, I must do something about it. Another issue in hospital one time, waiting in an A&E, there were kids come in and they throw the contents. You know the way you have these little brochures of how to health checks and whatever. There's a load of brochures and information things. You know the way you have loads of them on a panel as such?
Yeah, indeed.
And you just drop the whole lot onto the ground, onto the floor. And I said, pick those up. And a woman beside me said, do you realise who that is? You know, I said, I don't mind who it is. I said, they should pick it up. He picked them up, but then his older brother came out and threw them all down the ground again. So it's just...
Yeah, I do think, and I imagine that younger people now are much more.
I see it. Yeah,
you know, much more aware of anti-littering and of not doing this.
I mean, another issue there, the pyjamas things in Limerick are just unbelievable. I had another issue during the week. It's terrible in a certain shop in Limerick. This a family came in pyjamas, so I just got to a point. I said, will I say anything? Oh, here I go, I said. I said, sorry, but I mean, is that your pyjamas? I said, yeah, so what? So I said, surely you feel embarrassed, dear? No, told me to politely. The management of the shop said, this happens every day, they can't do anything about it. I said, put up a sign, you know, respectful dress, you know, code. But you can't do that, seemingly.
I do think that's a different category, though, Una, really, to somebody tipping rubbish,
you know,
out on the street or in the countryside.
Rubbish is scandalous. But these, I mean, it's scandalous. I mean, you see them on the road just dumping stuff, and it's shocking, you know?
Okay, Una.
And dirty nappies and stuff. Thank you.
Una, thank you for that. Pat Seary, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Katie. How are you?
Very well, Pat. You have your own issue with this.
Yeah, we have an issue out near the Three Jolly Pigeons in a place called Little Town, where a lot of dumping has taken place. And I'll just give you one example. A couple of years back, there was evidence found, records of single farm payments were found belonging to some farmers. But that's a separate issue. But then last year, in May, there was more rubbish dumped, and we reported to the local authority. And come October, the rubbish was still there. Numerous phone calls, numerous emails, no support. And then we also had early this year, we had carpets dumped. And you'd have enough carpets on the side of the road to maybe carpet three houses.
And when you say carpets, is this a commercial?
Used carpets.
Somebody cleaning out a house, basically, yeah.
Yeah, cleaning out the house, yeah. And just dump it on the side of the road. And there's a very good neighbour there. And basically what he did, he pulled it to the edge of the road. And until it was just moved to the very edge of the road and where everybody could see it, then it was taken away. Now, at the weekend, we've had toys and household waste. But the problem is, the longer it's left before it's inspected, then if there's any chance of any evidence, the weather will destroy the evidence. If this happens to be a letter, which was it before, but because it was left there so long, the address and details couldn't be made out.
But were you saying anyway that you didn't, that the local authority didn't seem to be active in responding to your calls?
Well, if you take from last year, from May until October, I don't think that's been very proactive. And even it was at the time of the local elections, and the canvassers were told, but there was very little, nothing done about it.
And what do you think, that's a staffing issue in the local authority? Is there a litter warden in the area, do you know?
I believe there is, yeah.
And yet, as you say,
made contact but never came out.
Is it the case there's just so much of this going on that some areas don't get the attention that they should?
Well, I think it's time. Well, I think the most important thing that should be done is name and shame. And until that's been done, rubbish will continue to be dumped.
And when you say name and shame, Pat, what do you mean?
If people are caught for dumping and they're fined, their names should go up either on the county council website or on the local papers. And that will stop it.
Do you think that would make a difference to the kind of people who would be prepared to do this?
I think it would make a huge difference. Sorry, Katie.
No, I'm saying, because we're hearing all sorts of people, you know, very, very respectable people. Some of our callers have been describing people they knew themselves are prepared to do this. So I'm wondering, would that make that much of an impact?
It's either that or increase the fine to €1,000. Minimum. Yeah.
Is the sanction strong enough, I'm thinking now?
No.
Do we know what the sanctions actually are?
I believe it's 300. Minimum.
That's if you're caught flying.
But I have never yet seen it published anywhere where anybody was fined €300 or fined anything by the local authority. Well, you have to have a situation where we pay our bin charges and we have our rubbish collected, and nearly everybody in the area, and this is coming in from outside.
Indeed. Okay, Pat, I'm going to have to take a break. 1850 715 815. You can text us on 51551.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Or email us at joe@rte.ie. We've been getting a huge reaction to this item about fly tipping. It seems to be a huge issue all over the country. Simon Whittaker, good afternoon.
Hello.
To you.
Hello, how are you?
I'm very well. Simon, you've been at the other side of this issue.
I have, yeah. I was with my kids and we were in Kyneton, Australia, just for a morning out, and I was smoking a cigarette and I casually just dropped it, stepped on it and carried it on my way, and the gentleman approached me and said, "Are you going to pick that up?" And I stood looking at it. He got me. I was ashamed. Done deal. I was finished. Right, I picked it up and I learned my lesson. Never again. It was horrible.
And would that have been something you would have done without thinking before that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You squeeze the top off the side, you step and you carry on, you know. And that's just what I did. And gentleman saw me. He was with a group of people. I was with my kids. My kids looked at me. Oh, God. I just thought, oh, no, you're done. You're caught, you know. So it was an eye-opener. I picked it up, put it in the bin, and that was it. Never again.
And you literally have never done that since then? You're
telling us. I suppose I have, but I'm really conscious, you know, to put the cigarette, crush it, put it in your pocket, do something with it, but just, Christ, don't drop it.
And would you have considered a cigarette butt litter before this incident?
It is litter. I know it's litter, but it's just probably just one of those things, you know, when you drop it from your hand to the ground and step on it, you know, there's no turning back, so wouldn't do it again. It was embarrassing, very embarrassing.
So is your message then, Simon, that people should approach anyone doing that has done this? Because
it has
had a positive effect on your behaviour.
No, I think absolutely. I mean, just choose your target carefully. I mean, you don't want to, you know, bark up the wrong tree. But I think this is it Eric, this guy who challenged your man? He's brilliant. He's a legend. He's fantastic. I mean, that's zero tolerance for that thing. It's just great. I mean, more of us should do it. You do get yourself in trouble for stepping or saying the right thing at the wrong time, but, you know, what can you do?
Have you ever challenged anyone yourself, Simon?
I did a couple of, maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago. I saw a young fellow who was walking in front of us, and he dropped a can, a Coke can, and I just kind of shouted after him. I said, "I picked that up." And he turned around to me, looked at me, and he said, and he picked it up. And I said, "What about the other one?" And it was a beer can. He said, "That's not mine." So I ended up picking it up and I carried a beer can around town until I found it dead. But yeah, I think so. But you know, you're going to get a reaction. People get embarrassed. They might just lash out. I don't know. But I say go for it.
Go for it. Okay. Well, thanks for that, Simon. That's an interesting perspective from a man who was caught red-handed and has owned up to it. Deirdre.
Hello.
Good afternoon,
Hi.
Deirdre.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Well, you have some sympathy for people who maybe not fly to, but maybe, you know, are more using other people's bins if they can't afford their own rubbish collection.
Yes, well, I don't know whether it's a matter of like a cultural attitude that we have, that we are very poor in relation to taking responsibility for our own rubbish. Maybe it's that in some cases, but in other cases, possibly as well, people haven't the money. So in my opinion, things have gotten worse in relation to dumping, you know, dumping in bogs. And we have seen it here locally where I am, you know, you will find bags of rubbish left beside your bin or on top of your bin in the mornings, and you have no idea who left it. We have experienced that several times. So, and another aspect that unsettles me is just to see people going out actually collecting and rifling through other people's rubbish for evidence of who did it and where it came from, and just handling other people's rubbish. It just seems somehow wrong to me. I don't like that idea of policing your neighbours or policing your locality. So I just think it should go back to the county councils again, and that they outsource it or send responsibility for it to some companies or something. But we should just all pay for it in general taxation. You should have no choice, and you should have good service, but you pay for it. And obviously when it's left to people's own discretion, some people will pay and some won't. And in my opinion, it has definitely got worse since legislation changed. Yeah.
Yeah, just take a step back for us there, Deirdre. You're saying that you don't think it's right for people to, as you say, go through people's rubbish if they want to find out. If, say, if somebody else's rubbish has ended up in your bin, you're going to be asked to pay for it. And you don't think it's right for that person to try and find out whose rubbish that is.
I don't think it's right to be put in a position where you are doing that. I know you would do it, and I would do it if it's left outside my door. But I have seen, you know, here locally, people go on their weekends to bogs and places like that, and they organise cleanups. There's something to me I don't like about that. I don't know why, but I just don't think we should be cleaning up other people's rubbish. I think it should be a good service. We should have a good service. You shouldn't have a choice about paying for it.
But I suppose that the point is, I'm thinking people, I'm sure, will say, well, if we don't clean it up, nobody will. And as one of our earlier callers there pointed out, rubbish attracts rubbish.
But if it's left there,
things can get out of hand.
Yeah, the service should be good. People shouldn't be in a position where they resort to dumping it in your bog. There should be a regular collection, an adequate collection. Nobody should be in any doubt about where it will or when it will be collected. And it should be, you know, through general taxation. That's what I'm thinking on it. It definitely is worse now than it was before.
Now, please stay with us, Deirdre, because I want to talk to Elaine. Elaine, good afternoon.
Hello?
Hello, Elaine.
Hi.
Would you agree with Deirdre there that people should not have to go through or should not be going through other people's rubbish to find out who the culprits are?
Well, in my situation, somebody had put their rubbish in my black bin, and I opened the rubbish. I knew it wasn't mine. They had stupidly left a Visa statement with their address on it.
A Visa statement, a credit card statement.
Yeah, with it. In the rubbish. So I drove around to the house, very near me, and I knocked on the door and I said, it's this particular man. He said, no, he's not here. And I said, well, he's been dumping his rubbish in my black bin. And I said, right. And she said, give me that statement. I said, I don't know. I said, that's evidence. I said, if you had been pleasant about this, I wouldn't have taken it any further. But under the circumstances... So I went up to the local police station, gave the information in, and I was then told that the person had been fined. After they'd been fined, I contacted the magazine, and I didn't mention any names. I said I didn't want them to put it. But would they put a little article, small little thing, saying somebody had been caught dumping their rubbish? Because I thought it would be a deterrent for people doing it again. And I would be paying for that, because it was going to my black bin.
And did the article get published?
Yes.
And the name went in, did it?
No, I said to them, I didn't necessarily want it. I didn't want the name to go in, but I wanted any direct notices to be aware of the fact that there are consequences.
Okay, Elaine, the line isn't great there. I'll let you go. We might be able to get a better line to you. I want to go to Melanie. Melanie Reid, good afternoon.
Hi, Katie, how are you?
Good afternoon. Again, you've had your own issues in this line.
Well, yeah, I was just, I was in town, in Dublin there about 6 months ago, and I was walking to my car and I saw this young guy, he was probably about nine, and he was walking his dog, and the dog stopped at a house, and the dog proceeded to go to the toilet all over the pavement, and it wasn't a wee. So I just looked at him, he just looked at me in the eye as if to say, yeah, what are you going to do about this? So I just said to him very nicely, I said, have you not got a bag to pick that up? And he looked at me and he said, F you, you effing knacker. I'll smash your effing face in if you even look at me.
Oh my God. This is sorry, this is a nine-year-old died. Child we're talking about
yeah,
here.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
And I'm three times nine and a bit more. Anyway, so I looked at him and I said, okay. And I was walking to my car and I just went, walk past the car. He's going to do something. And he's nine. He was, oh, literally this fella was up to my elbow. And then he said to me, you're an effing bastard. Stop looking at me. And he just kept saying, you're an effing knacker. I'm going to smash your effing face in. You have a good looking face. I'm going to smash it in for you. I was shaking like a jelly. I couldn't believe it. Nine. Now, where do you go with that? He's a child. So imagine I went back to him and I said, listen here, you little whatever. Don't talk to me like that. Pick it up. Like, you can't do that. The next thing, he takes out his mobile phone. And I don't know who he was ringing, but he was ringing somebody. So I just went, get into the car and get out of here right now before someone throws a rock in the window or whatever. But like, he was nine. He didn't care. There was poo all over the pavement. And he was like, yeah, what are you going to do about it? And what was I going to do about it? Nothing. I was just going to keep going because I was genuinely afraid.
God, that sounds like a very intimidating situation and a very unlikely situation to develop when you challenge somebody so young.
Yeah, and like, I was really nice to him. I didn't say, get a bag and pick it up. I said, oh, have you not got a bag to pick that up? You know, and I have a dog myself, and I actually thought, have I got a bag in my own car? No, I didn't. I knew I didn't. So I actually thought, I'll offer him, I wasn't going to do it myself, but I'll offer him a bag. Because when I was met with that, I mean, the language that came out of this kid's mouth was incredible. And he was obviously local. I just knew by him. He was walking around. He's probably just left his house and was walking around the block. And he was taking his dog for a walk, and that was it. And I'd say he does it every day. And I'd say he doesn't really obviously doesn't care, because, you know, that's how he spoke to me, a grown adult. Do you know what I mean?
Pretty effective, though, it was, from his point of view.
It was pretty effective. And I just said, I'll keep my mouth shut the next time.
I was just going to say, would you do again now, if you came across a similar situation again with an adult or a child, would you intervene?
Well, do you know what? I'd probably find it hard not to. And another situation that in fact happened, and this is before that actually, but there was where I live, a lot of cyclists tend to stop just across the road from my house. I live at the top of the hill, so they cycle up the hill and they're absolutely out of puff, so they have a little break, and they all have a little toilet break right across the road from the house. And one particular day I was coming home and I have three daughters and they're all sitting in the back of the car, and there's this guy and he's just taken a pee into the hedges at the front of my house. So I pulled every ratchet of the handbrake as I stopped the car and I said, excuse me. And he was like, yeah. And he was mid-pee, nothing he could do. So he turned his head and I said to him, I said, sorry. I said, what are you doing? And he said, I'm just going to the toilet. And I said, well, I can see that. I said, do you realise you're actually peeing in my front garden? And he said to me, oh, is this your front garden, is it? And I said, yeah. I said, that's my front garden. And he said, well, it's not up to much. And as he was arranging himself, I said, well, either is that. And I kept driving. And he was absolutely apoplectic. I say, he never goes to the toilet again unless he's in his own house. I couldn't help it. And of course, the three daughters in the back were like, oh, is that about? I said, never mind. Keep going. But the fact, even again, he was actually peeing on my front garden, like on the shrubs outside my front wall. And he argued the toss with me. And I was like, do you know what you're doing? I can't be arrested for that. Do you know what I mean?
You seem to have extraordinary bad luck in terms of the people you choose
to
confront.
I'm well able for it. It's okay. I'm well able for it. But I just think it is mad. Like, people seem to have no shame. They're like, I'll do what I want. You can't say anything. You know, there's just nothing you can do. Do you know what I mean? You just have to, unfortunately, just suck it up. But
I was really kind of ringing about the dog poo story, so the cyclist one just came out as a sloppy second, but there you go.
We did enjoy your sloppy seconds there, Melanie.
Well, I hope you did.
I'm going to have to take another break. 1850 715 815 51551.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Or joe@rte.ie. And the calls are still flying in on this issue of littering and people's attitude to it and people's people not behaving well in this regard. Alva, good afternoon to you.
Afternoon.
You were involved in an agricultural show in Waterford, is it?
South Kilkenny, yeah, a wonderful show. And we had a great day on Saturday, the Iverk show.
Congratulations. And then what happened on Sunday?
The big clean-up. And just year after year, it amazes me, the rubbish. You know, how people can just throw rubbish when there are so many bins provided. But it's getting better. But, you know, I just wonder who people think is going to clean it up after them. And do they think our backs are machines? You know, it's backbreaking, litter picking.
And tell me, Alva, what kind of rubbish are we talking about?
Everything. Oh, yeah, the cigarette butts and everything. Cups, of course. Plastic bottles, yeah, you know, like, we have a great day, we have a fabulous show, we do it because we love it, and but nobody loves picking up other people's rubbish, and it's just incredible to think in 2019 people are picking up other people's rubbish after a great day.
And is there enough bins provided at the show itself, do you
think? Yeah, there are.
Like, there's no issue about that?
No, we're going to provide more. We're going to do more about it for the coming next year's show. Do more about the rubbish, you know, segregation. And, you know, the more we can do to prevent rubbish happening, the better.
But you're saying that even though the bins are there, and there's enough of them, that people just don't bother walking to them with their rubbish, just throw it where they stand?
Yeah. It's incredible.
I wonder, well, I suppose a lot of us will remember pictures, and it was the Electric Picnic weekend, that there's some pretty grim scenes in Stradbally after some recent Electric Picnic weekends. Okay. So we'll be interested to see if we'll be looking at those pictures again on Monday. But stay with us, Alva. I want to go to Liam O'Connor. Good afternoon, Liam.
Hi, Katie. How are you doing?
We're doing well. You have an extraordinary statistic about cigarette butts.
Yes. So last year, I'm chairperson of Carrigaline Tidy Towns. So I suppose on the main street in Carrigaline, our most common litter, or farm litter, is the cigarette butt. And I suppose, and the Tidy Town report coming up every year in the National Tidy Towns, it was often mentioned about cigarette butts as the farm litter. And then in Cork County Council, we have an anti-litter league competition where they come out and they count cigarette butts on main streets, and there's a separate competition for that. But last year in July, the last week of July, first week of August, we said to our volunteers, right, if we go out, we will actually pick up the cigarette butts we find, and we'll keep them, and we'll do a count at the end of the 2 weeks. So we did that. We were out probably maybe 6 days a week, 5 to 6 days in that week, and at the collected cigarette butts in a bag, and then at the end of it we did a count and we came up with 6,500 cigarette butts.
Say that, 6,500 cigarette butts collected?
6,500.
Over 2 weeks?
Over a 2 week period, yeah.
Over, and what was it, one street, two streets, how many streets?
One street, the main street, Carrigaline. Not a huge street, but lots of bars and pubs or shops on the street. A lot of footfall coming through it in a car park. Now, I know you'd have people driving through that would put them out the window too, the cigarette butts, but lots of them just discarded from people smoking.
That's an extraordinary figure, I have to say.
It was, yeah, and it wasn't nice counting them either. you know, it was a big thing. But we didn't realise it was that amount of litter but, you know, it is one of our biggest farms of litter in Carrigaline. And I suppose in Carrigaline, on the main street, we have adequate bins which have the cigarette ashtray on the top. So, and then off the pubs have the cigarette ashtray on the outside as well. So so we just said, look, we do a campaign on it, and we got it on the local media, the local papers here in Cork and stuff. So, like, I suppose for cigarette butts, it's kind of, you've always considered, and maybe still is, a kind of, it's an acceptable behaviour to throw your cigarette butt on the ground when you're finished, because that's what's happening for years. And so it's a change of habit and a mindset that we need to get people aware of now. So that's why we said we'd run with this awareness campaign. So the plan was this year, maybe in September, we might do the same thing and just see, do we get a difference between the two figures. So hopefully there'll be a decrease.
Astonishing figure, yeah. Okay, listen, good luck with that. Let us know how you get on. I want to go to Mary MacDonald. Mary, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, how are you?
I'm very well, Mary. You're down there near Woodenbridge, a beautiful part of the country.
Yeah, we're near Woodenbridge, down around Kilcara. And I was just listening to your commentators there earlier on talking about the solutions and the way that the recycling centres should be cheaper or free or whatever. But we have two recycling centres in the immediate area, one in Avoca and one in Arco. And the fly tipping in the Woodenbridge area is just horrendous. It's mostly household shed, garages, garden clearances, and I would say 90% of what is dumped is recyclable. And they're passing two free recycling centres. We don't charge in Wicklow for recycling at the centres. So I don't think that's the solution. I'm not quite sure what the solution will be, but I would be inclined to agree with a lot of your callers there that it should be given back to the local authorities, the responsibility, and we should be paying for it through general taxation. We probably are paying for it through general taxation, but it should be utilised for those type of things. So the free recycling centres in this neck of the woods is not the solution.
And tell me, what kind of items are fly tipped? What do you see dumped down around Woodenbridge?
The likes of toys, children's toys, wooden floors, the laminate floors that have been pulled up. Like I say, 90% of it is recyclable plastics and wood. There's a lot of green recycling that could be done, a lot of hedge cuttings, trees, that type of thing is just dumped. Now, I know they're, if you like, biodegradable, but there's no need for dumping where they are dumped. But I honestly don't know what we'd have to do rather, and I mean, other than give free recycling centres, which there are two of here in the direct vicinity.
Yeah, I do you think people don't actually realise that the recycling is free? Could that be it?
No, I think by and large in Wicklow it is. It's widely known that both recycling centres are free, and I know the one in Avoca in particular. Numerous times during the year, they will advertise widely on social media, on the print media, the local papers, the local radio, for specific collections, the likes of paint tins and mattresses, white goods, that type of thing. And that's the type of thing that have been dumped. So it's not through lack of knowledge, I don't think. I think it is. It does come down to the cost. And there are people going around it. We have had prosecutions in the area. I have to say that the residents and in the locality and in the vicinity are quite aware of what's going on, and they're very vigilant. But we have found, by and large, if you take the registration of a suspicious-looking vehicle, let's say, that it's not an actual registration. It's not the real registration. So it's very hard to trace. People are paying people at the door to take the rubbish away without asking for to see their permits, and I think that's a big thing that we need to be educating people about. If people are offering to take your litter and your rubbish away, you have to see their valid permits before you give it to them.
One step back there, Mary. Are you saying that these man with a van or whatever these people, that they're using fake number plates?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it has happened more than once. They know what they're doing.
That sounds like a fairly sophisticated operation now, I have to say.
Absolutely, yeah. And I mean, they're cheap for a reason.
Yeah.
If you're paying 20 or 25 euros for somebody to take away a shed full of rubbish, they're not going to pay dumping fees. They don't have an up-to-date permit. They don't have those things. And I find that from talking to people, if they do ask for those particular documents or to see their ID, there's always an excuse and they just go. They just leave. They're definitely Cowboys
indeed. Thanks for that, Mary MacDonald. We have to take another break. 51551 is our text number.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Well, we've been hearing a lot from concerned citizens who confronted people who were littering illegally, or littering at all, I should say. But here's a cautionary tale. James, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Tell us about your confrontation with a person dumping rubbish.
Well, I live in a village. I'm a couple of miles from the sea, and I walk the beach fairly frequently. Now, it's a couple of years ago. Myself and my friend were walking onto the beach. There's a supermarket alongside the entrance to the beach, and there was a man who I vaguely knew from the village with his wife sitting in the car alongside the fish and chip shop. When he was finished his meal, he opened the car door, and instead of walking to the bin, which was only about 5 foot from his bonnet, he just dumped the stuff underneath the car. So I saw red immediately and shouted at him. Now, I was about 20 yards away, I suppose, at that stage. And next thing you know, he was flying over with fists flailing, and he recognized me because he didn't use my name, but he told me that he recognized who I was. I was the divorcee from the village. So we had a little bit of a lively discussion, and he told me he'd burn my house down and all this kind of stuff, you know. So I went to the police. I didn't want a physical confrontation. I went to the police, and the policeman said to me, shall I go and talk to him? I said, no, I just want you to know if my house burns down, you'll know who did it. So that was fine. Following morning, I came out to my car, and one of my tires was flat. So brought it down, brought it to the tire place, and they said, oh, no, it's unrepairable. It was punctured on the turn of tires, not repairable. So I had to throw that one away. A week later, I had to replace the second tire. So confrontation is not always the best policy in relation to people dumping their things.
Okay, James, I'm going to let you go because the line has just failed us there, but I think we've got that story. You had ended up with two punctured or slashed tyres after that particular confrontation. So in that case, that didn't work out very well for yourself. I want to go to Breatha now. Breatha, good afternoon.
Hello, how are you?
We're well, Breatha. What is your story?
A number of years ago, I had my wheelie bin stolen from outside my front door. And I reported it to my bin provider, and they said, we more or less know where it's gone. So they replaced it and told me that they had located my bin out at the local Halton site, and that the young travellers were using it for their dogs as kennels. So a number of weeks later, I got a knock on my front door, and it was the litter warden. And he had a piece of paper that was out of my bin with my name and address on it, told me he had found it outside the Halton site, and that he had a prosecution for me for fly tipping.
Oh.
So I explained to him very clearly I did not dump the bin, that my bin was stolen, obviously emptied, and what they were using it for. So he wouldn't accept that, and he was very adamant I was to take this fine, which I refused. So eventually I ended up calling the local guard in order to deal with the litter warding.
This is while the litter warden was still at your door?
Still at my front door, yeah. So the local guard arrived, I explained what was going on, and he had a very serious chat with the litter warden and said, do you really want to stand in a court and try prosecute this lady? And he very reluctantly backed down and left my front door.
And had you explained to the litter ward that you had already, this had been reported, this was on record with the local guard?
Yeah, and he had insisted that as long as he had a piece of paper with my name and address on it that was found on the side of the road, I was responsible for it.
I suppose, to be fair to litter wards, they probably get spun a lot of yarns when they confront people with letters from their rubbish.
I don't know.
Am I being too fair there, Breatha?
Well, it was kind of obvious where he had found it, that it was right outside the halt in sight, I had given him a very clear explanation. I said, these are your tenants. If you want to go out and have a look, you'll see they're using wheelie bins as dog kennels. So, you know, you were there and you saw my rubbish. You must have seen the dog kennels being used, being wheelie bins, being used as dog kennels. But no, he wouldn't back down. We literally had to get a guard to ask him to leave my front door.
Okay, well, and he did eventually. So all's well that ends well. Thank you. Thanks for that, Breda. I want to go to Waterford now, to Mary Leahy. Good afternoon, Mary.
Good afternoon, Lisa.
You were listening to our caller there earlier talking about the dog poo story.
Because I was always given out. I said, no one ever talks about these people going around with their... And I see them. Their bag, and they pick it up, and then they throw it into some garden.
Ah.
And so, I would think it'd be better to leave it on the ground.
Because now you've added plastic to the litter.
And it will be there. I mean, I did a big clean-up on my own garden. I took out an old ditch, and I just couldn't believe the amount that was in it.
And is your garden facing out into a place where there's a lot of dog walkers?
Well, it's my back garden, and there's a path, steps going down. It's only a walkway. So probably be a certain amount of dogs going down there.
And when you say you couldn't believe the amount of...
No, I've got a new fence put in, so it would be very difficult for them to do it now.
But when you did clear out the garden, like, are we talking like a half a dozen?
Oh, no, we're talking about an awful lot more. I couldn't tell you, because even there was one section I hadn't done. I went tackling there about a week ago, and there was another one.
Right.
You know, it was probably going on, it might be only one or two people.
But, yeah, because it could be the same people over and over again, is what you're saying.
It could be, because I hadn't tackled this part. And I was driving up Summerhill there a few days ago, and there I saw someone doing it. And I blew the horn at her. That's all I could do, because she was at the other side of the road, and she literally bent down into the garden. I saw her doing it. You know, and I mean, it means they're only doing it because they're afraid someone might see them leaving it behind. So they're pretending to be
good citizens,
part of civilized society, where actually they're much worse than people who leave a bit of poo behind them, because it will go into the ground, it will disappear. Do you know what I mean? There's a bigger waste problem when they put it into the plastic bag and throw it there.
Indeed there is. Mary, thank you for that. I'm going to have to take another break, but after that we're going to hear from Siobhan, who was speaking to us yesterday about the scam that was played on her and the €400 that was taken from her for All-Ireland tickets that didn't exist.